Now in Judges, the 17th chapter, verse 6, and it says over there, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And over in 1 Samuel 1 and 5, it says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. I'd ask him to do a song for us. I'm going to ask him to do, if you're all aware, we're going to stand and sing a congregational song.
Everyone please stand and turn to page 199.
I heard all that story, how a Savior came from glory, how he made the lie turn to heaven. What's going on? Huh? Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. So everybody was doing their own thing, right? How did that turn out for you? By the way, I asked him to do that. If you don't know by now, don't blame it on them. do not blame it on them. I asked you. I wanted to prove a point to you. Whenever, like it says right there in Judges, whenever it said 76, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Thanks, Debbie. Thanks, Ryan. They pulled it off perfectly. If you could have seen the look on your guys' faces back here, I thought it went wonderfully. There's Patty back there. Whoa, whoa, Prince Abbott, whoa, whoa. Those of you who know me probably realize that I would change the word sometimes anyway, so it probably wasn't abnormal for me. But for Debbie and Ryan, it was. And this is a Mother's Day sermon. But, listen to this, but you know what? In those days, there was said as the king of Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Whenever you do things your way, and everybody does it their way, it can turn out to be chaos, can it not? It can turn out not to sound that great. It can turn out not to be that great. And you know what? Just imagine a world where there's no standards. And I'm going to get to this here a little bit, what I'm talking about. This is a Mother's Day sermon, okay? Where there are no absolutes. Just think of it. Just think, where everyone makes up their own rules, where no one accepts something to be the truth unless they decide it's the truth for themselves. Imagine that. Let's take it a step farther, folks. Let's imagine a world that doesn't accept absolutes as you know it, a world where someone might say what's right for you isn't necessarily right for me. Imagine a world like that. A society where everyone is afraid to speak up because they feel that they have no right to impose a standard on everyone else. Can you imagine a world like that? How about a culture where they'd rather than trying to teach other what's right and what teach each other what's right and wrong, what they say, we just want to teach them what's important. The thing is that they decide for themselves what's right and wrong. Imagine a world like that. After all, everybody's situation is different. We can't be pushing our moral values on anyone else, can we? We cannot be doing it. Imagine a world like that. Or how about a world where telling the truth is a good thing to do sometimes? Imagine a world like that. It's a good thing to tell the truth sometimes. But also, lying can be considered a good thing also. It depends on what the situation is. Can you imagine a world like that? If you have a hard time picturing a world like that, let me ask you something. Just turn on your TV and watch it for a couple of hours at night. Just watch the news or pick up the newspaper and read it the next day. Or whatever's going on, just do that. Imagine a world like that. Watch the evening news. And you know what? I can tell you, America is in a moral crisis right now. They are in a moral crisis. I'm not going to back down from that. I will never back down from that statement because I believe it to be true wholeheartedly. America is in a moral crisis. Now, to the point about this being a Mother's Day sermon. Whenever I read to you over in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. That is exactly the kind of world that Hannah was living in at the time that I read this scripture to you right here. Not only was it like that back then, like it is in America today, it was like that back then. That's why it said over in Judges, that's why she lived during the time of Judges. And that's why every man did according to what he felt was right. And that's where the hand was. And you know what? The whole nation was corrupt. Even Eli, the priest, and his sons weren't the most upstanding people in the world. They just weren't. I can read that scripture to you also. They just were not the most upstanding people in the world. This world Hannah was living in, she was a godly woman living in an ungodly world. And besides all that was going on around her, the whole nation of Israel being in moral corruptness, moral bankruptcy, she was trying to have a baby. And guess what? Guess what verse 5 tells us? But the Lord had shut up her womb. Here was a godly woman. She was a godly woman trying to get pregnant, to have a child, and her husband had another wife, and she was having children. But you know what? She even tormented Hannah. If you read the scripture, if you read all chapter 1, you'll see. I'm not going to read it all down through there. But you know what? God had shut up her womb. And I want to have a word of prayer now, then we'll go into the rest of the sermon. Fathers, I come, Lord, this morning. I come thanking you, Father, for this opportunity we have to be here this morning. I want to praise you and give you the glory that you so rightly deserve, Lord. I pray, Father, that this morning, that this message would go out to the hearts here the way that it should go. I pray, Father, that you would do that. For, Father, you know, Lord, it's not what was in me, but, Lord, but Father, it's only through you that I can and do accomplish anything. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. God had looked around over the nation of Israel, and he seen that there needed to be a change. That's what he did. He looked over to Israel. He said he needed to raise up a hero who could lead his people Israel back on a path of righteousness. God had realized that, and he knew that. He needed a man who would step up. He needed a man who would step up and do what was needed to be done, and needed to be done at that time. Someone who could be a judge, someone who could be a prophet, someone who could be a priest, all wrapped up into one. God said he knew. So in order to train up that kind of man, that kind of leader, God was going to need the help of a special kind of woman. And that woman was Hannah. He was going to need that. Now, mothers, I'm telling you, you have a special place. I'm telling you right now, in your children's upbringing, in your children's life, I'm not going to say that without backing down either. Mothers have that special ability about them to do special things. So what God does, what's God do? He needs her to raise up a godly child. So what's God do? He shuts up her womb. He doesn't let her. She's not able to have any children. And you know what? That don't make any sense. If we look at it in our human eyes, it does not make any sense. How can Hannah be that special kind of mother if she can't have a baby? How can that be? You know what? God knew Hannah's heart. He knew what was the only thing. That not only was she going to be a mother, but she was going to be a special mother that was going to be needed to raise this son up to where God needed him to be. She knew to be the kind of mother he would count on to train up that man the way that it was that child needed to be raised up. I'll tell you what. But God had to first do this, and I want to tell you this is what I believe. God had to first bring her to the point where she was desperate enough to do what God needed whenever God needed it to be done. I don't know that her heart was ready up to that point. She was a godly woman. She was a woman that God looked down upon her heart. But I'll tell you right now, maybe she wasn't ready, and I believe she wasn't ready at that point. You see, God will sometimes use the pain and the disappointments in our lives. He'll sometimes do that to guide us to something that he wants us to do. I'm telling you, if you're here today, mothers, and you've been through the pain and disappointments in your life that some of you have been through, and you know what? God has had to bring you through these to bring you to a point to maybe to where you are to this day in your life. You say amen to that? You'll see God will sometimes use that pain to do that. It says over in Psalms 142:3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. I don't know what you've been through today and where you've been in your life and what pain you've been through. God was with you every step of the way, guys. He was with you. He knew the path that you were going down. He knew where it would take you to. And I'll tell you something else. He knew your heart. My Bible tells me he'll not put no more on you than what you can bear. I know you're probably looking at me and saying, man, he said, I must have been able to bear an awful lot. God knew your heart. I want to tell you that this morning. God knew you. He knows what you can bear, guys. He knows it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he knew what you could stand. And you know what? You may not. Maybe you're going through something right now. I don't know. Maybe something in your heart has got you disappointed, got the pain in your heart right now that you don't understand. I want to tell you something, ladies. God knows your heart. He knows the path that you're on. Let him be with you. Let him guide you. And when you get to the end of that path, I'm telling you, you'll be able to see where he's brought you from. What you needed to be done. He'll be able to do that. Because you know what? Thou knewest my path. God whispers in our pleasures, but folks, but he shouts in our pains. He wants to, why? Because he wants to get our attention. Listen, hold on. I'm directing you where you need to go. He can do that. This way, you know, you see Hannah had pain and disappointment. She came to a decision. Whenever she had this, she came to a decision. What? To quit serving God? Did she come to that kind of decision? Because he doesn't care anyway? He doesn't answer my prayers? You know what she did? She made God a promise. Over in 1 Samuel 1:11, she said, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. God knew he had the right woman for the job right then. Amen? Yes, there was disappointment in her life. Yes, there was pain in her life. But you guess what? She didn't turn her back on God and say, God, listen, you know what? I'm not going to try to serve you anymore because, you know what? You don't hear me anyway. She didn't say that. She took it to the next level, did she not? She said, God, she said, if you give me that child, a boy child, she said, what? I'm going to dedicate him to you the rest of his life. Amen? And he's just what she did. She vowed a vow. She knew Hannah was that kind of, God knew that she was that special kind of woman that was needed right then and there. You know what? She wasn't going to back down. She was going to do what she said. The people could do that back then. Back then, you know what? Well, what made her vow so special? Let me explain something to you about her vow. Whenever the children of Israel had a firstborn male in their families, whether it be a donkey, a sheep, a male child, whatever it may have been, anything firstborn that was a male, that was dedicated to God no matter what. It was. But you know what they would do about a month later? It tells us over in Numbers that they could buy back that vow. And that's what they would do. They would take and buy it back about a month later. But you know what Hannah decided to do? She said, proposed in her heart, and she made it, and she prayed, and she meant it, that I am going to give him to God. I'm not going to try to redeem him. He is God's the rest of his life. God knew he had the right woman. Amen? There was nothing stopping her from redeeming her son back. But you know what? She had made a vow. And she was going to take him as soon as he was weaned and give him to the priest. He would be raised to serve God. God knew he had the right woman for the job right then. I'm going to ask you a question right here, and I'm going to be serious with you. I don't want you to answer this for yourself. Does God have the right woman in you today? I'm going to preach to the guys here for long. It's going to be Father's Day. But I want to ask you something right now. Answer to only in your heart. You're the only one that knows deep down inside right here. When I'm asking you this, and I'm asking you this because God's telling me to ask you this, ladies, does God have the right woman for your family? Can you tell me that? You answer, God knew he had the right woman right then when he did it with Hannah. He knew he could count on Hannah. And because she had come to the point in her life where she was willing to do anything God wanted. Ladies, are you willing to do anything that God wants you to do in your life for your family? You tell me that? Answer that for yourself. I'm not up here to try to condemn you. I'm just telling you, God has told me to ask you this. Are you willing to do that? Because, you know what? God rewards her in a powerful way. We can see that. Not only does she get pregnant right away, she goes on to have four sons, and she goes on to have two daughters. And the firstborn son was named who? Who? Samuel, exactly. And I want to ask you a question here a little bit. Name me the other three sons and the two daughters. Can't do it, can you? Tell you what. He come on to be the greatest, one of the greatest figures in the Bible, did he not? We all know about Samuel. He was the last judge of Israel, and he was the first prophet of his people. Just remember that. He was a righteous man that guided the people out of their immorality, back to obedience to God and the law. There are two books that bear his name in the Bible. God also compares Samuel's righteousness to that of Moses. If you go over in Jeremiah 51, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. I'd say that's pretty powerful to be compared to Moses, would you not? Amen. Samuel was such a great man that he was equal to Moses in all that was going on. I'll tell you what, folks, old Hannah could pull out the old billfold, could she not? And said, look at this. Look what God's done for me. Ladies, have you ever pulled out your billfold to show a picture of your kids to anybody? Show your family? Do you have them at your work, on your desk? I figure you do. You have them hanging on the wall. You're proud of your children, are you not? I want to tell you something. Up in my locker at work, I've got my wife. I've got my son, my grandkids. I've even got my daughter hanging up there, believe it or not. I've even got her hanging up there. I got to keep the rodents out somehow. I am proud of my children. I'm proud of my family. Not in a way that people want to count proudness. But you know what? Hannah was proud of that boy, proud of what God had done. Why? Because you know what? She was willing to turn him over to God and to serve him. All this happened because Hannah was a godly woman, because Hannah was a praying woman. All this happened. Now, when we see these stories in the Bible, I would like to say something to you. These stories are not there just for feel-good stories for us, right? These stories are there for us to learn a lesson out of. And I want to tell you something God wants us to learn a lesson from. God's wanting us to see something whenever these are in there. Hannah was a godly praying woman. She was the type of individual he listens to. Be like her. Try to emulate her as best you can. To the best you can. If you want a child to make a difference in this world, be like Hannah. Can you say amen? If you want a child to grow up with a desire and passion to serve God, be like Hannah. Be like that. Can you be like Hannah? How can you be like Hannah? Number one, a godly mom believes in the power of prayer. If you're going to be a godly mom for your family and for those that you come in contact with, you better be a praying mother. Amen? You better be a praying mother. Listen, because if you want your child to grow up like it, you know what? And they were willing to pray for their family to the point of weeping and fasting before God. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to pray and fast to God for your family? Are you willing to do that, moms? Can you tell me that? The heart of the entire story centers on Hannah's prayer. It does. God was so impressed with how she prayed. The Bible goes on in detail about how she prayed. She prayed with intensity. She prayed with purpose. She prayed believing. She did all those things. God heard and gave her the desire of her heart. In Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You want your child to, like I tell you, to grow up and make a difference in this world? You want your child to serve God and be, you know what? I'll tell you what though. You know what? You should delight thyself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Pray, be a praying mom. If you have a praying mom, I want to say this quote. I love this quote. If you have a praying mom, there's nowhere you are likely to go where a prayer has not already been. Can you say that? I believe that. Tell you what, any of you here that are Christians that are praying for your kids, you know, if your kids are going somewhere, you've already prayed ahead of them. Amen. A godly mother gives her children to God. Granted, Hannah's gift to God was more dramatic than most of us would ever think of or even require to do. I'm not saying that. But godly mom is convinced in her heart, I'm going to tell you, that God will help her child, watch over her child, if she places him in his loving hands. I believe, that, and Tink can tell you this, that we believe that when we pray for our children, we believe they're in God's hands. We believe it. I mean, you know what? Whatever may come, God is in control of the situation. We believe He's in control. Amen? She's convinced. As a Christian, we know everything belongs to Him anyway, right? Over in 2 Timothy 1:12, the Bible tells us over there, For thee, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Folks, are you believing today that what you have committed unto Him, He's able to keep? I'm telling you, He's able to keep what you commit unto Him. He's able to do it. God's able to keep what we commit to Him. Moms, that includes our children. The daughter, listen to this, the daughter of a good mother will become the mother of a good daughter or a good son. They will. Listen to me. They could. Your children will emulate what they see out of you. There was a study done here a few years back that said that a daughter will marry a man almost like their dad. Because if their dad is a godly man and the way he handles stuff, they will marry a man as close to him as they can find. Whether or not that's... I tell you, I didn't do the study. A godly mother wants what's best for her. Wants what's best for her child. Amen. All of us do that. She knows the word of Jesus when He said in the garden. He said in Gethsemane. He said this, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Not only applies to her life, but to her children's life. Am I right? She knows that God's ways are always best. A godly mom is the type of woman that will tell her child, listen to this, whether or not they grow up to be a preacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a truck driver, or they dig a ditch, she'll tell them, you know what, you do it to the best of your ability, and you do it for the glory of the Lord. Don't try to put a square peg in a round hole sometimes, folks. You let God have His way in their lives. You don't try to push them. You try to encourage. You let God have His way in her life. She wants them to do their best of their ability and do it for the upbuilding of God and His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, I like this, for whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let your children know that. I don't care. I don't care what my children do. I want them to have good, prosperous lives. I want them to do that. But you know what? More important to me is that they are good Christian people. That they serve the Lord with all that they have in them. That they love God. That Jesus Christ is the soul of their life. A godly mom will keep her word to God and to others. God was able to trust Hannah. Why? God trusted her to do what she promised. As soon as Samuel was weaned, she marched him right up to the tabernacle. As soon as he was weaned. And here's what she said. Here's what it said in 1 Samuel 1:26-28. And she said, "O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petitions which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." She kept her word. She kept her word, folks. Over Ecclesiastes 5:6 tells us, "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou should vowest a vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou therefore the angel that is in an error. Therefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hand." Moms and dads, we need to keep our words around our kids and around other people. Our words should stand pat. It should be just like signing a contract, as far as I'm concerned. And that's not like the world is today, am I right? That's not like the world is today. The ones who spoke and swear and believe their words or promises or vows should be just as good as a contract. A godly mom will tell her children stories about God. She will do that. I remember this. Every time we had the opportunity, and I don't know if my kids remember this, maybe they do, they get sick of hearing some of the stuff sometimes, but every time that there was a situation that we had the opportunity to show them, listen, this is the way that this should be handled. This is the godly way that it should be done. Whether it be friends of theirs or whether it be other situations in their life, we tried to bring God into every situation that we could bring Him into. Folks, a godly mother will do that. She will try to bring it in. She'll bring God up. A godly mother will do that. She will look for ways to incorporate God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit into every part, into every story of that kid's life to try to get it to where it has to be. To try to get it. She will show them that they are precious. Not only in her sight, but God holds them precious also. No matter how young or how old they are, let me tell you something. Tell them God's stories. You agree with that? Tell them stories of God. Tell them how God loves them. Do that for them. Moms have a way of making it. You know, moms have a way of always of making it about everyone else. Do you know that? Moms have a way of doing that. You've all heard the stories about the last piece of pie. You've heard that story about moms. And I've heard this down through the years, and this is true. There'd be one piece of pie left, and everybody else has had a piece of it, but there comes up one of her kids and they'll say, you know what, you know, I'd like to have another piece of pie. And for some strange reason, mom's not hungry then. She doesn't want that pie then. You know why? Because she would give it to her kids. Or maybe old mom would wear the same clothes for a year. But you know what? She'd make sure her kids were dressed as nice as they could be dressed. Amen? Why? Because moms are like that. Moms are like that. Moms are like that. You know what? A mom is a person who could write her own autobiography and never mention her name in it. I believe that. To guide, to teach, to love us, yes. Hannah, but may I suggest a better thing, folks, to you? You know, Hannah was a good one to emulate. But can I tell you something I think is even better than that? For you to be yourself. To be a godly woman and be yourself with your kids. Am I right? You know, do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do for your children. Have them do that. You know what? Many reasons why I don't believe in evolution, but this is one of them. If evolution was really true, why does moms only have two hands? Can you tell me that? Why do they only have two hands? Why do they only have two eyes and two ears? You know, for all that they have to do. Can you tell me that? I want to read you a story, then I'm going to close out with this. I'm going to close with this. The story of a Christian mother in California. She wrote that her three-year-old son was making it hard for her to do her housework. He seemed to be right under her whenever she went and wherever she stopped to do something and turned back around. She would trip over him. Several times she patiently suggested fun activities to keep him occupied. "Wouldn't you like to play on the swing set?" she'd ask. But he simply smiled, an innocent smile, and said, "Oh, but I'm all right, Mommy. I'd rather be right here with you." Then he continued to bounce happily along behind her. After stepping on his toe for about the fifth time, she began to lose her patience with him and insisted that he go outside and play with the other children. Then she asked him why was he acting that way. He looked up at her with a sweet green eyes and said, "Well, Mommy, in Sunday school class, my teacher told me to walk in Jesus' footsteps. But I can't see him, so I'm walking in yours." You have a lot of influence on your kids, Mom. Those who are young, those who are old, you still have influence on your kids. And I know sometimes it's these sermons and stuff like this, you know, I have a hard time trying to do holiday sermons. You know I do. Mother's Day is one of them. I try and I pray about it, and sometimes they're just hard for God to point out things to me on that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you what, I will say this morning. Mothers, above everything else, you have influence. Whether your life is in chaos, like Hannah's life was at that time in that country's life. This country today is in chaos, folks. It's a moral chaos. God's looking for a few good women. And I think I'm looking at a bunch of them right here today. And grandmothers and moms. And listen to me. Jesus Christ is the center of your life. Make sure that your kids know that Jesus Christ is the center of your life. And if he's not, I'm begging you this morning, come up here today. Let's get it right with him. Let's do that this morning. And then let's try to be like Hannah. Let's try to be like our, let's just try to be a praying mom and one that's willing to dedicate her life and her family to God. Let's do that this morning. They come get a song. And I promise you it'll be the right song with the right words this time.